Stevie Weeby here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to Highland Park's finest rapper, Rivery, her episode. First time on the show. My favorite part of her interview was her talking about her progression through the open mic scene to eventually performing at the Paid Dues Music Festival. Thanks for tuning in.
Stevie Weeby!
Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We have a very special guest tonight on the podcast. Please welcome for the first time Los Angeles' very own rapper, Rivery.
Holla! What's up?
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
So, we're living during these weird COVID times.
Oh my God, it's...
You're our first in-house guest. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm really digging what the movement you got going on. And,
thank you.
We have a lot to discuss. So you're from Los Angeles, yeah?
I am from Los Angeles, born and raised. I was born and raised in Highland Park.
That's what's up. Mm-hmm. And what was it like being? Was it pretty? Is that a rough area?
Yeah, it's pretty rough. Mm-hmm. It's not the roughest in LA, but it's definitely rough. And it was a lot rougher also when I was growing up. Now it's very gentrified and it's changed a lot.
What do you mean by that? Just like hipsters moving in?
Yeah, there's a lot of hipsters. There's there's shops and record stores now. Yeah. And everything used to be in Spanish before. All the signs were in Spanish, but now there's hardly any.
Yeah, that's
there's a ghost in here.
Yeah, there is a ghost. So off camera, while Rivery was talking, my that thing, the Swiffer thing, broom thing fell over.
No, my God.
That scared me. Wow. So because there might be a ghost in here. That's why. I'm sorry. I didn't mean
that. Seriously?
Yeah. But that's why. Do you smell the Palo Santo?
I do. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So
really
I tried to clear it out. Relaxing. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, because I'm not from Los Angeles, but when I moved here from, because I'm from San Diego, lived in Arizona, graduated, and my brother was out in Silver Lake, I noticed a huge cultural, I had to wake up real quick.
Yeah.
Especially to the street shit, you know?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I had no idea, like, oh, shit, you know?
It's very different than San Diego.
Very different. Very different.
But I love San Diego.
Yeah, I do too. It's beautiful, the beaches. But like, there was actually like a Cholo family on the corner, and they, from like a distance, they were like a normal family, like the kids. But then, I noticed that the father, when he walked on the street, like him and it's two of his homeboys, like everyone got out of their way.
Yeah.
Like everyone on the block knew, like, don't fuck with this family.
Yeah.
You know, but then the kids, they're like normal kids, normal family, but it's just that respect factor. I'm like, oh, that guy, he's the OG dude on the block.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really interesting how, because I grew up kicking it with the gang too, and it's really interesting to know a gangster in their personal life, you know, and then you see them go out in the streets and they're a completely different person. You know, it's interesting having that insight.
So you were you forced to, or is it just in your environment, like as far as just the characters around?
It was a bit of both. You know, when I first started kicking it, I didn't really realize everything that was going to come with it. You know, I just had a couple friends who I was kicking with before they were even in the gang.
Was it middle school or high school?
It was high school. And then eventually some of my friends started getting into the gang. And so then I was by like affiliation, you know.
Oh, just because you were guilty by
association.
Association,
you know.
Yeah,
so then, like, long story short, my hood was not the hood that was in my high school. And my hood was like the little hood. And then there's the big hood. And they were all in my school, and so I got in a lot of fights. I would always get jumped. I actually got kicked out of school for fighting because of tagging in gang shit. So tag,
that's crazy you brought that up. So that's I got affiliated just looking around. Like, is that a part? Is that kind of a precursor to the gang life? Like,
yes,
like tag banging and all that.
Yes, and it's really, unfortunately, a really big part of the Hispanic culture in Los Angeles, you know? And usually what ends up happening is that all the crews who start tag banging end up usually getting into one of the gangs, you know?
Eventually.
And not all of the crew will get into the gang, but it doesn't matter even if you don't get in the gang, because now everybody associates your crew with the gang.
Damn, that sucks.
Yeah.
Are there some instances where a kid just loves graffiti and just stays out of it, like, and goes all city and gets up everywhere in the city, and then they kind of like do a different route, you know?
I mean,
similar to like the underground rap shit, you know, people who get into rap, and we're gonna get into that as well.
I definitely hear about those people, so I know they exist, but I guess that leads me to assume that it's just different in every neighborhood, you know? I don't know what it's like growing up right here in Hollywood or anywhere else, really. I just saw that in Northeast LA, where I grew up, it's all like that. Like, if you're going to do graffiti...
There's so many different cliques?
Yeah, but even just the tags, the tagger crews, it gets crazy in LA. Tagger crews are basically, they call them tag bangers, you know? Yeah. Because they do all the same shit.
Like, as far as getting guns,
no, they're fucking carrying guns, shooting people. Yeah.
I thought they're carrying markers.
I mean, they are, but they're down for other shit because shit just gets crazy in LA.
Oh, if
you know?
They get disrespected, like they get crossed out or something?
I mean, that or somebody's homie robbed somebody or somebody, you know, it's always about money.
Yeah.
It's always like, or that's your homie. And it's just such a crazy world that I'm so glad I'm not a part of anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and
we're going to get to that because you're like, doing some positive shit right now.
Yeah. Can I tell you
one story that made me wake up to my environment? Mm-hmm. So, Sanborn, that's the name of the street. So I lived on Sanborn near Echo Park, Silver Lake, but this was early 2000s, so it wasn't gentrified yet.
Okay.
There was like real shit going down. So
yeah.
There was have you heard of Circus of Books? It's like they sell magazines. There's like a porno section in the back too. They sell like cigarettes and stuff.
That's where you said that was like around Silver Lake.
Yeah,
right?
That was on the corner so it was near El Pollo Loco, and then right there it was Circus of Books. So I'd go there and it would be open all night. So I'd go there and I was reading a skateboarding magazine. You know, I was just reading. Because you could buy, like, candy, too, or whatever, soda, cigarettes, too. So I was there, like, reading a magazine, and this suspicious, I guess he was a cholo, I don't know. He was wearing all Raider, you know, all fucking Raiders gear, shaved head.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was sweating, and he looked really, like, maybe he was on meth. He looked really paranoid. He was, like, looking around, and I was just reading Transworld or Thrasher. I was reading a skateboarding just looking at it. And I kept looking at him, but I didn't want to look at him that long, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And then next thing you know, homie goes out front and gets jumped by like 5 to 7. Like, I heard them. Brent, I'm telling you.
No.
I heard them slam him against the front.
Oh, shit.
Like, get him, fool. Get his ass, fool. Like, stomp him out, fool. Stomp him out, S.A. You know? And then I was scared, you know? And then I realized, like, oh shit, like, what am I gonna, I'm in the store, I'm like trapped.
You're like, they saw
so
me.
So I just kind of got on my knees and I looked at the clerk go like this. But what happened was, I figured it out after, was some disrespect happened and they were teaching him a lesson, something happened.
Okay.
Where they stomped him out in Circus of Books.
Yeah.
And so thank God, like, he just got beat up like nothing else happened.
Seriously.
But that's when I realized that, and a couple other instances where these local skater kids, they were good kids too. They were Latino, but they skated and they were good kids. And then one of them near the taco truck, they were crying, all of them. And then I go, what happened? And they said, so-and-so got killed just skating with a beanie on through a school.
Oh my God, so sad.
Yeah, so I was just like, oh, this is, oh shit, I can't be doing, just being out about like it's just Yeah. Safe. You know what I'm saying? Because yeah. it ain't safe at night like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I always make sure to get inside before it's dark, no matter where I am, though, especially as a woman. And I watch too much Law and Order. I'm very paranoid. Yeah. I am a paranoid person. I'm not going to lie. So yeah. When it gets dark, I'm like, hurry, we need to get inside.
That's what's up. So I want to get to the positive stuff. I just want to get some background information. But so you're doing your rap thing, and I'm digging your shit, man.
Thank you so much.
Get artists on here that like I want to support and be like, I like their movement, and I want to get into Satori also.
But okay, cool.
How did you when did you like get into hip hop, and who were like some of the first cats you were like really vibing and listening to? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so I've been listening to hip hop as far back as I can remember.
The 90s or 80s?
Yeah, the 90s. I'm a 90s baby. Mm-hmm. I was born in 1990.
Okay.
So as far back as I can remember, I've been listening to hip hop. I remember being like in kindergarten listening to Power 106, ready for school.
Yeah.
On my little red boombox.
Before I forget though, rest in peace, Double K from People Under the Stairs.
Yeah, it's so sad.
All the rappers are going.
Yeah.
But continue.
So I just have always listened to hip hop, and also my dad listened to hip hop a lot, so he got me into hip hop a lot as well. He listened to just a lot of gangster rap, you know, like N.W.A., Ice Cube. So I grew up listening to all that stuff, and I also listened to stuff from like my era more too, you know, like I grew up really listening to 50 Cent and Nelly and TLC. But then when I got
TLC has some jams.
I love them. I listen to
some real good catchy songs. The Waterfalls.
They were so dope.
I like their shit.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. But continue. Did you and then as far as what about like how did you get into did you like the underground shit too?
I did. So yeah. I mean I do. I started listening to underground rap when I was in junior high.
How'd you discover it?
You know, one day I was watching the LA channel. I don't know if you remember. We used to have the LA channel.
I don't think I do. Do you remember that, Ren? No, I don't.
It was on regular TV? It was on regular TV, but I guess it was only in LA. Mm-hmm. And so I was watching TV one day, and then Murs was on the TV.
Oh, shout out to Murs.
Murs. And then I was like, what? Who is this guy? He sounds so cool. I love this song. I've never heard it on the radio.
I always loved his shit.
Right. And then that's how I found him. Even his 4-track shit.
Like,
yeah, he's
dropped so many albums, but you could take inspiration from that. Mm-hmm. Like, wow, this guy's working.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, I love his shit, yeah.
So he was the first person I saw, and then later on
You saw him perform?
No, I saw him just on the TV.
Was he his music video?
It was a music video for Badman.
Oh, that's what's up.
Oh, okay. And I think that he filmed that in Highland Park.
Oh, okay.
And so I was also like, yeah, it's here. Like, who is this fucking guy?
Was
it for his
first album? Was that on For Real, or?
No, it was on Walk Like a Man.
Okay.
Or the 9th edition.
I mean, he's got like 30 albums. I got too many albums.
So then I showed my older brother, because I have 6 brothers and 1 sister.
Were they into that too?
One of them was. And so there's like so many of us. Anyways, I told him about MERS. I was like, oh, have you heard of this guy MERS? I found him the other day. He was like, what? You know about MERS? How did you find that? You know, like, because it's rare that people listen to. It was more rare back then to listen to like underground rap, you know. And so then he said, oh, if you like MERS, you got to listen to Immortal Technique. And if you like Immortal Technique, you gotta listen to Atmosphere.
Yeah.
And so those were the first 3 like really influential people to me that made me say, oh shit, maybe I could rap.
Yeah. You know? I mean, Slug is pretty prolific himself as far as songwriting structure and just I was tripping. I saw him. Remember Spaceland back in the day? Spaceland. It was near. It was east. It was east, but it was a little club, and it was Idea and Abilities.
Oh, they're sick too.
Yeah. So it was Idea and Abilities, and God, who else performed? But then the opener or the dude with him was Slug.
Okay.
But I was like just there. I think it was something, maybe someone from the Living Legends. I don't know. I remember seeing Grouch there.
Living Legends, I listen to them a lot too.
Oh, yeah. But I remember, I'm like, what are these white guys about to do? I thought, are they going to do rock and roll? And that's what this goes to show, you can't judge a book by its cover. So I was tripping, me and my homie, we were just like, all right. But they fucking killed it. I'm telling, like, they must have freestyled for like 30 minutes. I mean, or a long time on stage. And yeah, I knew crazy. It was real.
I'm
like,
oh, yeah, oh. You could just hear it.
They're like, dude, they're talking about the crowd. And, yeah. But I remember that guy's name. Oh, that other guy was Slug. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, that was Slug. Okay.
Yeah.
And then fast forward to, you know, Murs and Slug. They mm-hmm. did a project together.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, but continue. So it was first Murs and then Immortal Technique.
And Atmosphere. Yeah.
So they that's were so weird because they're not LA. They're from Minnesota too as well. So,
yeah. Well, Murs is from LA.
Maybe it was that Murs and Slug connect. Well, they did that later though.
Yeah,
they
it was later. No, I listened to them individually before the mm-hmm. Felt mm-hmm. stuff. Yeah.
And then did that inspire you to, when did you kind of like take a crack at like maybe writing your own stuff and doing your own art?
I'm pretty sure it was the day that I got home after my brother showed mm-hmm. me Warmers and Immortal Technique and just, Atmosphere Music.
what did you like about it? Was it the beats or the lyrics? Like what
it was for sure everything, but it was more the lyrics. Because I love their fucking production. All the beats that those fools choose to rap on and the beats that Ant makes, like they're mm-hmm. amazing. But I just remember in my head, like, whoa, I never heard somebody talk about life like this on a song. Like, this is really not what I was used to listening to because everything on the radio was just gangster rap, you know? Yeah, when I was young, everything was gangster rap. And I love gangster rap, too, you know? But I was just really interested in hearing, like, it was like, to me, hearing another Tupac.
Because
up until then I hadn't heard somebody rap about life and emotion and tragedy and philosophy, you know, besides Tupac.
Yeah.
And so when I heard them, I was like, whoa, this is fucking badass, you know. And then also at the time in high school I was like super into like fuck the government and question everything, and you know, so that's why I also liked Immortal Technique, you know.
Yeah, because he was really knowledgeable.
Yeah, that's like his tip, you know, and which is fucking badass. And so that I swear that I'm pretty sure I got home and wrote a rap like that day. But I always was writing though before that. I used to write
like
a lot
poetry,
of poems.
Like
I remember when I was learning how to spell, I was so anxious and excited to learn how to spell so that I could write poems and
that's
stories.
What's up.
Yeah,
that's
so,
what's up.
But that's when they turned into raps. And it was like in the 7th or 8th grade, something
so
like
you
that.
You started young.
Yeah.
When did you start recording your own shit and putting out your own projects and stuff?
I recorded my first songs when I was a senior in high school.
And then did you link up with a producer or a DJ or something?
Oh, no. I would steal every single beat. Like
instrumentals?
Yeah. I would steal beats. Okay, yeah. And I would record wherever the fuck I could. You know, if somebody...
Because back then it was hard to get a home.
Oh, yeah. It was
there wasn't
not like
these
now.
Home studios and shit.
No. And so the main place that I used to record out of was all the way in Chino Hills.
Damn.
And I was a kid and I didn't have a fucking car, you know, but...
Someone out there have like a 4-track or something?
They have like a little setup.
Yeah, they had a setup. Yeah.
And it was in the closet and we had to drive all the way out there. And my homie would take us... It was because... I remember when I first started writing and I was dying to record. I was like, fuck, who could I record with? What am I going to do? And I saw that my friend's uncle was making music. And I said to my friend, oh my God, please ask your uncle if I could go to his studio.
Yeah,
I have music and it's really good. I swear to God, I just want to record it.
Yeah.
And anyways, long story short, his uncle was fucking dope. Shout out to Jose. Mm-hmm. And he would drive me and my homegirl out there and we would all record there. And
that's dope.
Yeah. And I just remember... I remember this one time, I was like 17, 18, and I remember this one time we were all in the room, everyone was all fucked up, and my homie Jose was like, man, if anybody's gonna make it with this rap shit, it's gonna be Reverie for sure.
Yeah,
he's like, you got something, like you have something, and I was like now that I think back, I remembered that the other day, and I was like, oh shit, that's crazy, like I guess people always heard that I had something special, since when I started.
They just felt that they believed in you as well. When did you start like doing shows and actually putting out tapes and doing all that?
So the first tape, so when I was young, like I said, I was kicking with the gang, I was running amok, I was getting arrested, I was on drugs, and my brothers went in and out of juvenile hall, okay? So they were going in and out of juvenile hall for like 4 years or something like that, maybe 5 years. And when they would come home, they would come home for 2 weeks or 2 months, and then they'll go back and fucking camp for 6 months. Mm-hmm. So it was just a big mess. And basically, my brother Loudon, who is now my producer, shout out to Loudon.
He produces?
Yeah.
What's he made? What kind of, does he have like an NPC? Like what kind of gear does he have?
He's had NPCs before, yeah. But he uses Ableton right now.
Yeah, so does everyone. Yeah.
Yeah, he's always like Ableton, that. Then Reason.
God, I gotta
then,
learn that. Yeah.
Yeah, fuck. It's the future.
Out. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, shout out to your brother.
Yeah. So he was one time he got the last time he got locked up when we were kids, he got locked up for a year. And after he was about to be 18. And I told my mom, I was like, look, my brothers keep coming in and out of jail. My brother's about to be 18. And all my friends are either going to prison or dying. So it's going to be one or the other pretty soon. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So my mom basically just packed up her whole fucking life and left. And we ended up moving to Washington State, to Seattle, or not to Seattle, but to a city by Seattle.
Damn, you moved to Seattle?
Yeah, and then that's how I started making music for real, because I had just a handful of songs that I put on MySpace.
They have a huge music.
Well, it's indie not rock. Really like that up there. Like maybe for indie rock grunge, and maybe for hip hop more now so, but when I lived there 10 years ago, it was not like that. It was not, like people would say that. They'd be like, oh, that's cool, the music, but at least from my experience, it was not like that. Not with hip hop anyway.
Right.
So then anyways, my dad, he gave us an inbox, me and Loudon, for when Loudon got out of jail. And when we were up there, we didn't have any friends. We knew nobody. Mm. It was just me, my brother, and my mom, you know? So we just made music.
So
he recorded my first project.
Yeah, you got a lot of work done.
We would just work all the time, and this was just it was just for fun.
Yeah,
we didn't have anything else to fucking do. It was never, oh, let's make music and one day we can travel the world with it and live in a penthouse. Yeah. You know, like that was never the plan. Yeah. It just kind of like happened.
And then when did you start performing and doing your thing?
I started performing. The first time I ever performed, the first few times, it was at open mics in LA. Mm-hmm. And I would just figure out like where there was going to be an open mic and I would be there. And then eventually people would start asking me if I wanted to perform at their show. Like, oh, you're really good. I have event to open, here and there. And I was like, hell yeah, I'm fucking down. Yeah. I would go anywhere. I would sell tickets to perform.
Oh, you know, I was just like bringer desperate. Show. Kind of like a bringer show. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I just wanted wherever there's a fucking stage and an opportunity, I was there. Mm-hmm. So then, but then eventually, I did start releasing my projects and stuff with my brother. Mm-hmm. And then I moved back home to LA after like a couple years of being there or whatever in Seattle. And then, I mean, it's just been a snowball effect since then.
Yeah.
You know, every year there's more and more people at the shows.
Yeah, that's crazy. And so that's because you did it from the ground up. Like, So when did you start noticing, like, because didn't you do paid dues as well?
I did. That was my first festival that I ever did.
That's crazy.
Uh-huh.
And so when...
I was the first, on the bottom of the flyer.
But you were on there.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, like, now it would probably be towards the top.
Yeah,
you know, but
yeah,
it's just crazy.
Your fan base has grown. Like, because a lot has changed since then. Mm-hmm. So when did you see the trajectory start going up, like, as far as, oh, more people are familiar with my work?
I mean...
People are asking me to do bigger show. Like, when did that... That's what's happening.
I mean, it's just been a slow, steady slope, you know, because I remember when I first started performing, it was just literally me and my homegirls there, you know.
And maybe a couple of your homies just.
Yeah. And then eventually I still remember the first time people came to my show. There was like probably like maybe like 8 people there to see me.
They paid tickets.
They paid to see me. And I'll never forget. I was like, they told me they were going to come on MySpace or Facebook. I don't remember what it was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, okay, let's see if they come. I think they're going to come. But then when I saw them, I was like, oh,
how
shit.
How did that,
like,
make you feel?
These are my first fans. Like, even I'm getting the chills right now talking about it, because it's just like, and they were singing my lyrics. I was like,
how did that make you feel when they knew your words?
I don't know. It's like this. I don't even know how to explain that feeling.
Yeah.
I don't know what it
is. You can't buy that shit, huh?
You can't.
That's priceless.
It feels like. It just feels like you're inside somebody in a way. Like, but like in an elevating form.
Yeah.
Like as if they're smoking me or something. Like, that's crazy. You know, like I'm inside them. Like, I don't know. I
can't explain. What did it make you feel when you sold your first tape or CD to like at your merch? Like, how did that make you feel?
Oh, you know, I don't remember the first one, to be honest with you, because I gave out so many for free.
You kind of have to do that at the beginning, huh? Like to get people.
I still give shit out for free. Yeah. I'm still like all the time. Oh, yeah, you know?
Yeah.
But it's just a different process now. But when I first started selling, I think before I first started selling, really selling CDs, I started selling merch. Mm-hmm. It was more like merch like that.
Yeah, we're going to get into Satori too.
Yeah, like that was more. I remember when people started, you know what? People started asking me for it. Oh, why don't you do you have any shirts? Do you have any shirts?
Or vinyl or whatever, yeah. CDs?
And then I would be like, oh, no. But after a few people asked me, I mentioned it to somebody and he said, oh, I'll invest in your shirts. Oh, I'll make them for you. And I didn't have any fucking money. I didn't even know
a screen printer or anything. Oh, he just took a cut? Yeah.
Yeah.
So he had the screen print. He had the that shit.
But then he started ripping me off and making shittier products than we agreed on and doing all these kinds of shady shit. So that's when I learned I have to do this shit myself.
Yeah.
And the same thing happened with the shows. I started getting ripped off at shows. Oh, so I started throwing my own shows and my own tours and my own fucking
shady promoters out here.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do everything myself. Like me and my team do the jobs of like fucking 50 people, you know. And
sometimes you got to learn those lessons to get there. Yes, you know what I'm saying? I mean, definitely. I went through a similar thing with like just the I went through here as far as like that's why I have my own. I got my man here. I know how to edit now. And
awesome.
I just kind of do my own shit.
So important.
It's very important. It's your team. I wouldn't trade it for the world. You know.
Yeah.
Let's get into, didn't you, cause I seen you, did you do an interview with Sugar Free?
I did.
I saw it on YouTube.
I did. What? I did a show with him in Pomona.
And then Cypress, so didn't you?
I did the interview on K-Day, I think it was.
Yeah, I saw that. I was tripping out. I was tripping.
I opened up for him in a show. So that was like the promo for
it. That guy's a real pimp.
Yeah, he's a real pimp. And then I did the Smoke Box with B-Real.
God damn.
So and I'm working on a song right now with Bobo. I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about it, but I'm going to be on his new album.
That's crazy. Yeah. How did you link up with Cypress Hill?
You know, I grew up listening to Cypress Hill. My dad
shout
was
out
like
to
a,
Cypress, man.
Yeah, my dad was like a huge Cypress Hill fan. And so I listened to a lot of that.
Legendary.
Yeah. And then I was on B-Real TV a few times with some of the other shows.
He's cool, huh?
He's fucking awesome. He's very humble, very
he's
cool.
He's very chill. It seems like
very chill.
The vibe I get, he's just really laid back.
Oh, yeah. He seems very and then eventually he asked me to be in the Smoke Box.
What was that experience? I watched several episodes of it. Yeah. Yeah. What was that like?
Does
he got like the best weed or...
I mean, I was fucking high. Yeah, I was high as fuck.
Because those joints look really big.
Yeah, I was trying not to smoke a lot, though, because I didn't want to get anxiety because I'm here having a fucking interview with B-Real.
Was it in a garage? It seems like it's like in some
it's
old
in
school
a car.
Yeah. And it seems like it really gets smoky. Like
it was very smoky. Yeah. I was very nervous, to be honest with you.
How high?
If you know me and you watch that interview, you can see that I'm very nervous.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, how high did you get?
I didn't get that high because I would have got a fucking anxiety attack doing that interview and being like, you know, because interviews are kind of nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Especially if you're high. It's because...
Yeah, paranoia.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was not that high, but I was for sure high, like maybe like a 7 or something.
Yeah. You know what? I just had a vision for you as far as, since you're already in with that camp, what if like Muggs, you did a project with DJ Muggs?
That would be sick. He knows my music too.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a really
could
that
good happen?
Idea. I'm going to reach out to him.
Because that would be a sick, like an EP or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So, how did you, you met Cypress and they were just cool? Like,
I went on other shows on B-Real TV and I'm assuming that's how B-Real found out about me. And then that's when he asked me to be on his shows.
How did he get in contact with you?
I don't remember.
Just reached out through maybe social media
Or email or phone from one of his friends. I have my number. I don't really remember. Yeah.
So what did your peoples think, like, because they're a legendary L.A. act.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're like the
you
gods.
Can't get more, you know what I mean? Like, what about your family? Were they tripping on your...
Oh, yeah. My dad was like,
they
my
must
God.
Be tripping. they must have tripped out.
Oh, yeah. It's very exciting seeing all of the progression happening with my music and my movement over the years. You know, it's been a journey, and I've put in so much work to get here, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just so amazing to see the fruit of my labor.
So if there's any artists that are, might want to pursue the same thing you're doing, mm-hmm. like what kind of advice would you give them? What are some tips you could give them to?
I would definitely say to be thick-skinned and be prepared for everyone to say that it's not gonna work. And also, you have to be prepared to accept the fact that it's not gonna work for a long time. And in that time, you have to just fucking believe in yourself, and you have to figure out what's working and keep doing that. And then if you see you do something that doesn't work, don't keep doing that. Everything that you do is an experiment. Everything should be a test run. It shouldn't be just like, oh, I'm just gonna do this because I want and hopefully it goes good and then I can just keep doing whatever I want. Like, that's gonna hold you back a lot, you know. Mm-hmm, to succeed, mm-hmm. you and to really succeed on a crazy level like those fools, you know, that have been talking about, you have to
put in work.
You have to put in work, but you have to be very business oriented. You know, a lot of people they fuck up and they think it's just about the art. And honestly, it has so little to do with the art, especially nowadays. It's about networking.
Yeah, networking and social media
skills. Yes, and social media and your all that kind of stuff. Because talent is a great accessory. It is, for sure. But that talent's only going to get you so far. That's why you see all these people, like, they're quote-unquote whack rappers, but they're really big because they're good at networking and they're good at making
promoting.
People look.
Yeah,
and
they promote themselves.
Exactly. And it's even the same in every field. Like, sometimes I run across photographers shooting for certain celebrities. I'm like, damn, that picture sucks. How is that person even in that room? You know?
Yeah.
But it's just really about your networking skills and building your portfolio and taking advantage of opportunities. Like,
Would you even say it would help to, like, learn, like, these different trades, like, learn how to edit or learn how to make beats or learn how to do all this other shit, you know, just so you know how to do it?
I would say maybe not just learning something just so you know how to do it, but I would definitely say that if you can't find somebody to do it for you, you have to fucking learn
it. You have to learn it.
It's one or the other.
It's either sink or swim.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yes. And there's so many artists out there who are all the way at the bottom and have not done anything. So if you want to start, you just have to find those other people and work together with them and build a team. And that's how you build, you know? You have to find other people on your level. I feel like so many people... I've been in the rap game now for like fucking 10 years. And everybody that fell off, it's because they fucking stopped trying. And all the rest of us that kept going, we're going, you know, we didn't stop.
So, like, even, like, you knew other artists from around your area that they were good, but somewhere down the line, they stopped.
Oh, yeah. Like, the amount of people that I started with, like, when I started really making music, like, let's say, like, 7 years ago, like, there's basically none of us left, you know?
You're one of the only ones.
Yeah. And so, but now we're doing really good. You know, not all of us, but there's a few of us and we're doing really, really good. And it's really a trip, you know?
I just thought of another project you could do with, you heard of Funk Dubious? They're like a part of that camp.
Funk Dubious?
They're a part of the Cypress. Mexican.
Okay.
You should link up because they have some dope beats too.
Okay, okay.
Ralph Elm the Mexican, Son Doobie, you know, them dudes.
You have to send me their music.
Yeah, no.
I've heard of that, but
they're kind of within Muggs' camp, I think.
Okay.
I want to say that they're kind of like, you know, it was kind of like the Wascals to the Far Side kind of type deal, you know?
Okay.
Where, you know, like the Far Side being like Cypress Hill and, you know, and yeah, and then
like
it's kind of like they're like brothers.
Okay,
they're
okay.
Like homies. Yeah.
Okay, cool, cool.
Yeah, yeah. I just thought of that because I the reason why I thought of that, because, you know, going back to marketing, before you came over, you know, there's only a couple people watching, but he was like doing a live beat on Instagram Live.
Okay, cool.
And it reminded me, like, oh, yeah, I used to like their stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But let's get into your, because you're wearing a particular hoodie. What is Satori?
Satori Mob is my brand. I have this little... Oh, I brought you a present.
Oh, thank you.
I brought you a present.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me get that present real quick.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. You got some product, huh?
I do.
Can we show it on camera, too?
Yeah.
Like, bring it in here?
Definitely.
That's what's up. Okay. Mm-hmm.
This is for you.
Look at you. Look at that, Ren.
Thank you. So I brought you one of my sticker packs.
Oh, whoa.
And I brought you a keychain. And I brought check you one out. Of my beanies.
Oh, thank you so much. You wore beanies. Yeah.
I didn't have any snapbacks because I saw you wear a lot of snapbacks.
That's what's up. So this is Satori Mob.
Satori Mob is
S-A-T-O-R-I Mob. Love the name.
Thank you.
How did you come up with this this brand? Like, this is cool shit. Like,
so I've been working on my brand now for about 4 years. My brand is turning 4 years old this year. It's crazy. Oh my God. But so before I developed the Satori Mob, I always made merchandising, but it would just say Reverie.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah.
Like every artist, they just have random designs and it just, you know, it didn't have any concept or any, no style, you know, which is cool. That works too, you know? But then one day, I just decided that I wanted to do something bigger than that. You know, I wanted to have a fashion brand that I could represent and that I could push alongside my music. And so I had been developing the brand for, I want to say like two or three years or something like that. And I went through a couple other names that I never launched and a couple other logos and all kinds of shit that I never launched because it just didn't feel right. And I was searching for that perfect word and logo for my brand. And then so eventually this is what I came up with.
That's dope. Oh, damn, you have the cup.
How'd
you come up with the concept? It sounds Japanese in a way. Satori?
It is.
Okay, that's what's up. Oh, yeah, because I noticed the Asian elements in it. Yeah. So how'd you come up with that?
So I had been searching for brand names. And like I said, I threw a couple of them out the window because I just decided that I wanted my brand to be something deep, like my music, you know. Not all my music is deep, but I do have a lot of deep music and I like to make people really think, you know. And so I decided that with my brand I wanted to do the same thing, because initially I just wanted to make a brand that was just all street shit, like fuck bitches, get money, hustle, like that typical, which is badass too, you know. But I decided that wasn't what I wanted to go for with my line. And I just, one day I was reading a book called The Power of Now.
Oh, yeah. I'm familiar with that book.
Okay, so I really like that book.
Eckhart Tolle. Yeah,
So I was like somewhere in the middle and I saw the word Satori. I was like, Satori, a sudden enlightenment. And I just really liked what it represented in the book. And like immediately when I saw that word, I knew that was going to be my brand name. I said, that's going to be my brand name. And then I just put Mob in there. So it's like a little philosophical, but then it's like a little hood.
Like street too.
Yes.
So it's a perfect
kind of balance.
Yeah.
And then my logo is obviously inspired by yin yang. So it's like the balance.
I'm getting Bruce Lee vibes too. Like,
cool. Hell yeah.
So what do you have a variety of different, so you make beanies, stickers, cups, shirt, sweatshirt, like you make it all. Then
I'm working on a lot of other cool things right now.
Okay, so how do the viewers and listeners support Satori?
You can just go to satorimob.com.
Satori, so S-A-T-O-R-I mob.com. And it's all up there. That's the website.
And you could follow us on Instagram, Satori Mob. We have a Facebook page.
That's crazy.
We ship all over the world, all over the world. That's why I call it Satori Mob International, because it's an international brand. My clothing is in every continent in the world except for Antarctica. So if you're watching from Antarctica, hit me up. I will send you some shit because I need to get it over there.
Would you trip out if someone like let's say when COVID's over, you start performing again and someone shows up with a Satori tattoo?
Oh, that happens all the time.
So there's a Reverie tattoo?
There's Reverie tattoos, Satori tattoos, just the logo, Satori Mom.
And they come
my
to your
face,
show?
My lyrics, Reverie.
Someone everything. Has your face on their face?
No, not on their face. Not yet. Yeah. But that would
You trip out? Would you trip out if a fan had your face on their face?
I would have to put them in a, you know, like these trap video. Rappers? You know? Yes. They would have their own spot in my music video, for sure. That's fucking badass.
What are your thoughts on, because, you know, you're fucking raw boom bap, like raw LA. What are your thoughts on today's music, like a lot of these mumble rap, you know, like trap rapper. Yeah, trap
rappers. I like a little bit of everything, you know. I love trap music. I don't listen to everybody that makes trap music, but I also don't listen to everybody who makes boom bap music.
Honestly,
I don't even really listen to a lot of boom bap music anymore. I mostly listen to like trap shit and more of the modern shit, and I also listen to a lot of EDM. I'm like super
into EDM. Jungle and shit too.
Everything EDM. If it's EDM, I'll most likely fuck
with it. Did you used to fuck with raves? Like,
going I used to go to raves. I used to go to fucking raves when I was like in my early 20s and like late teens. I'm super into electronic music. I love it.
Have you experimented with like LSD or mushrooms and stuff like that?
I definitely have taken psychedelics.
For sure. What's the craziest experience that you've had on
it? Oh my God, I'm thinking about the one that Eli was sharing with you.
let's say it again. Let's say it. Let's retell for those of you who haven't heard it.
Shout out to Eli. He said this crazy story.
He gave me that painting there of the Native American guy.
Oh, that's the one that you were talking about.
Yeah. He gave that to me. That's so shout out to Eli. Yeah. He's a new father too.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yes. The baby's congrats to him and his wife. The baby's so cute. Yeah. He's Holy a dad. Shit. She's like a little angel.
Yeah, he's a dad.
But I heard the story he was talking about the shrooms in the forest. Oh my God. But let's see, a crazy story. I mean, they're always kind of embarrassing with fucking drugs. What's a crazy one?
Or just like an LA rave where it got crazy, or you saw crazy visuals, or
man, I mean, I guess this one time I was at some rave. I'm like, do I really want to say this story on the camera?
Think about it for a little bit. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I can edit it out too. Okay. You don't have to.
I guess it's a crazy story. I mean, fuck it. People know I've experimented with drugs. It's all good. I used to party a lot. Yeah. I used to do a lot of drugs. Yeah. To be honest with you, you know, and that's also been something that I've struggled with
my Me whole too.
Life addiction. Yeah, I heard you on.
Yeah, I'm sober now, but I've seen dead people on acid. Oh shit! Okay, I've seen dead people in the wall.
Oh yeah. Okay, yeah, that's.
Yeah,
oh,
listen to Portishead. Yeah, I've heard a fucking. I can't listen to Portishead.
Oh, I bet.
I can't.
Oh my God.
That witch voice. I mean, I thought she was a witch.
Shit.
Yeah, my homie had her song on repeat, and I saw dead people.
Oh my God.
Yeah, in my dorm room. Yeah, I thought maybe I had died.
Oh no.
And I was like going to join them in the wall. Imagine that. Like it was
that's crazy.
I was trying to take a shit, and then I see the ground move in my dorm room. God. Look at the wall, and they're like fucking right there and shit. God. Oh yeah, yeah, that's for real, awful. For real. And I was like, shit, are they dead? No. I was like, are they dead?
Oh. Or am I dead?
And I knew I wasn't tripping. I was tripping, but I knew I wasn't tripping.
Yeah.
On my tripping because there was more than one age. Bracket. There was little kids. There was grandfathers. Oh, there was mothers. There, you know what I'm saying? It was filled with dead people.
Yeah,
and they were like, they're like, hey, you can see me.
Oh my God, that sounds terrible.
Yeah,
that sounds awful.
So you haven't experienced nothing like?
I haven't experienced that, but I guess the like one of the most fucked up I've been was at this rave. It was like at a massive rave in LA. I think it was. It was a Halloween rave. I don't remember what it was called because this is so long ago. But I just remember that I for some reason left. Maybe I went to go to the bathroom or something. I went away from the crowd, or I was gonna meet my friend in another room or something like that, or of the stages or whatever. And then I just remember I was like talking to this guy, and I was like, "Oh yeah, oh my God, I can't believe it, Mario." And this guy that knew, I saw him there, and I was surprised to see him there, you know. And then he was like, we're dancing and stuff. I was like, yeah, that's so cool. And then next thing you know, he's like, oh, so what's your name? And I was like, what? I was like, it's me, Jordan. He's like, oh, okay, nice to meet you. And then that's when I realized it wasn't even him. It wasn't even my friend.
Oh, some other guy?
Yeah, so he looked like my friend.
Oh, you're tripping.
I was tripping. And were you on LSD? No, I was on ecstasy. I don't know how many people I took, like a couple or something.
Yeah.
I for sure was not just off one. And plus it was like one of my first massive raves. And back then I liked to get really fucked up. But
have you ever been to a rave where you lose your friends? I was one in the Bay Area in Frisco. And this rave was so big, they had a Ferris wheel.
That's like the rave that I was at. It was like a big one
It was a big one. Mm-hmm. So, and I was on acid though.
Oh no.
So I lost my homies.
Oh, no.
I lost my homies. And so the whole night, it was like a movie.
I was trying to find my friends. Oh, no. And then you're all fucked up.
Have you ever walked around where you see other people having a bad trip? Like, I saw a girl crying on mushrooms. She was crying.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was like seeing all this crazy shit.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like scared, too, because I'm like, where the fuck are my...
Yeah.
It's like you're in a war, you know, it turned to like a fun time to I'm in a war, like I'm in Vietnam.
Oh my God.
I just saw the movie Rescue Dawn, where the dude, Christian Bale, he works for the Air Force and he crashes in Laos or.
Oh shit. Okay.
And he gets captured.
Oh no.
I felt like I was like Christian Bale, like I crashed and I don't know where anyone
That's
is.
That's how it feels. That's how I felt that night too. I was like, oh my God.
Don't do it.
I was like, I need to find my friends now. Yeah. I was like, I didn't realize I was that fucked up. You know, I thought I was cool, but apparently I was really fucked up. And then, of course, so then I kind of started freaking out. I was like, I have to go. I don't even know who you are. I've been talking to you for 5 minutes thinking you're my friend.
Yeah.
And then I left. And then, of course, like on the way to finding my friend at the next room, I saw all kinds of weird shit going on. Yeah. There was this girl they were holding. I'll never forget. They were holding her upside down and like fucking putting a light show in her. And she was upside down. She was like.
Oh, with the glow sticks?
Her eyes were rolling back and her tongue's out of her mouth. I was like, this bitch is going to die. I was like, where am I? And I was like, finally, I found my friend. I was like, thank God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, I'm staying with you the rest of the night. I'm fucking tripping.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of ecstasy this is.
Just a little word of advice. If. Now, like, I'm sober now, but if I were to go back in a time machine, if you were to do that, make sure you have one person that is clear-headed and maybe sober, like a mediator.
Yeah, and also maybe, don't just jump in.
And then maybe, I think it would be a better experience if you were, like, in nature or something.
Yeah,
I don't think those drugs are, like, meant to be done, like, for to be constrained in... indoors and shit, because that's when the fucking monsters
come. Yeah. Like I remember, I think it was come. I'm pretty sure at the end of that same night I did some shrooms because the pills all wore off or whatever, and I did some shrooms. There was probably like 2 hours left in the rave, and I had done shrooms before, you know. I was like, oh, I'll do shrooms, it's gonna be cool. It was the worst.
How much did
fucking,
you eat, like,
no, just a little bit, but I started tripping a little bit, and it was a fucking Halloween rave, so everyone looked scary. You know how people look scary when you're on shrooms. So it was like the worst idea ever. I was like, I want to go home. And then we got to the fucking car and the car was towed.
Yeah,
so then we had to take the bus home. It was a mess.
Have you done this, been at a rave where you just go into different rooms and each room has a different vibe, but you just dance by yourself and shit?
No, because that wasn't, I never go by myself. I was just that one time that I went to go find my friend in the other stage, but.
Yeah.
that sounds weird.
It's like when raves turn into like where, like the Far Side would be performing too. Like some of your favorite rap groups, you'd be like, what, they're on a rave?
Yeah.
That's weird when that shit started happening.
Yeah,
huh?
I remember I was at EDC one time, and then Lil Jon came out. They were like, Lil Jon.
Oh, the rapper, Lil Jon.
Yeah,
oh,
I was
shit.
Like, yeah, whatever he says. Like, it was
do you
so
think
cool.
maybe they were on drugs too?
Probably? I mean,
they had
to
at least
John,
been high.
Sure,
yeah, they had
to
at least been high. Damn, dude, time flew by. Shit, man. Okay, so that was sick. I didn't. I like taking a walk down memory lane. with those types of stories.
I know, remember you're like,
so
love
dude
stories.
I want to get down to brass tacks here as far as promoting.
Okay,
how do the viewers and listeners, what's the best way they could support Reverie right now as far as music and Satori, everything?
For sure, my merchandise is where it's at. Mm-hmm. So SatoriMob.com,
that's the best way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's what I like the most. Mm-hmm. For like all the ways I make money. And obviously there's no touring right now, so I won't see you anytime soon.
What about your music? Can they?
Yes, my music is everywhere. Wherever you listen to music, I'm there. Spotify, Apple Music, mm-hmm. Deezer,
stream
Pandora.
Stream it, folks.
Yeah. Fucking SoundCloud, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Everything's Reverie Love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then can we? And then what's your? Do you have a? Can you say your website again? Your Instagram as well.
Yes. Yes. My website is SatoriMob.com or ReverieLove.com, and then all of my social medias are just Reverie Love. Yeah. Instagram.
Yeah.
Twitter. Facebook. I also have TikTok and OnlyFans. And
how do they support in that? Like.
Just everything is Reverie Love. Just
and then so that's R-E-V-E-R-I-E. Reverie Love.
Reverie Love, yeah.
And that's the best way.
Yeah, or reverielove.com is where you can get my Satori mob, yeah.
So definitely Satori is where it's at. Mm-hmm. If you're watching or listening, make sure to get on that site and order any of this stuff. How much is a sticker pack?
I think it's like $5.
Yeah, look how dope these stickers are.
And we get just added stickers. Two more stickers to
Thanks
that.
Thanks for the beanie, also. Dude.
Yeah, I really very appreciate welcome. Thank that you for having shit. Me.
And then this is dope, too. Dude.
Yeah, these are awesome. Thank you so much.
And so
thank
that's, the, I guess, I mean, that's a full hour.
Yep, which is about 50.
Yeah, so did that fly by?
Yeah. I'm a talker, so.
But you even said like... you weren't paranoid doing this.
Yeah. No, I'm nervous, but I just have learned to present myself by now.
Yeah.
You know? You just got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Or somebody else is going to take your opportunity.
I think this is a good opportunity because my YouTube channel has a select number of subscribers and it would be good for them to get accustomed to who you are. And I think it was a perfect fit.
Thank you.
You
me
being
too.
From LA, yeah. You doing the boom bap,
yeah.
the raw rap shit.
I guess since you guys are on YouTube now, just go to my YouTube channel. That's the best way. Like you can see all my videos. I also produce a lot of my videos.
And then what's the name of your channel?
It's Reverie Love. The same.
It's just Reverie Love.
Everything is Reverie Love, yeah.
So go get on there today, folks, and hit the subscribe button.
Yeah, hit the subscribe to stay updated with my content. Yeah.
Hey, the best of luck to you.
Thank you so much.
I'm only wishing the best in your future.
Thank you.
Dude, that's so sick you came through. That was easy, huh?
Oh, yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, because I've seen some of your music videos, and you have so many different, like, locations going on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He was asking about the different locations on the music videos.
Hawaii. We filmed in Hawaii.
Yeah, did you have a whole crew with you, or did you plan that?
I planned that video, yes. We knew we were going to go to Hawaii for the first time, and it was with Grouch. Shout-outs to Grouch. Grouch
love
brought
his
us
shit
out
too.
There.
Grouch love his shit, too.
Hell yeah.
All their shit I like.
Hell yeah. And then we knew we were going to be out there, and I was like, oh, my God, Loudon. I told my brother, we have to make a fucking music video while we're in Hawaii for the first time. And so we actually brought our whole crew with us.
That's crazy.
We stayed there for like
Hawaii is a magical place.
Oh, my God. It's like another
planet.
It's
very spiritual, yeah.
It's very spiritual. Grouch was telling me about it before
I
went.
Yeah, he lived out there in Maui, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, for years, yeah.
Oh, it was so nice.
That's
I can't wait to go back.
Yeah. How do we get Merz on here?
I'll ask him if he's down.
I think I've asked both of them. I've had three. How many living legends have I had on here? Three.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
I had Scarab, too. So
okay,
I've had Scarab, Eli, Grouch.
Cool.
I see Sunspot. I think I could get Sunspot because I see him at my Ralph's.
Oh yeah.
I see him getting groceries. I was too scared to go. You know, I didn't want to, you know, catch him off guard. Like, hey man.
No, hey, you have to do that.
Yeah, I know. I should have.
You should have. Yeah.
But I was nervous because you know I didn't want homie getting groceries.
I feel it. You just gotta do it.
I just gotta do it, right?
It's like if people are doing the same thing as you, don't be afraid to just do it. You know,
yeah.
Like everyone. We're all trying to keep building. You know?
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I think in a way it would help them too as
oh,
well.
Yeah.
You know,
you have a big platform.
This is
too,
a platform.
You know?
It's like, and some of them might not be accustomed or familiar with their shit. You know what I mean?
I mean, they're definitely not. Not all your fans know me, and not all my fans know you.
But
for
that's
sure.
why you're doing this.
So
now they
great,
will. Now
yes,
they will.
Exactly.
Man,
exactly.
Thanks for coming through.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
There's no little. Oh, I have to do something now. God, where's? I haven't done this in so long. Hold up. Give me a sec. If I have a cheat sheet. Okay, so there is a Patreon if you want to support this platform. We're going back to in-house interviews. If you want to, you know, I noticed the views went down a little on the Zoom, which is fine. It's not the same as in-house, but we're going back to in-person interviews, okay? If you want to support, patreon.com/StevieWeeby. My website's StevieWeebyShow.com, Instagram/QUANGOU. Most of my music or... like probably 90% of my music, StevieWeebyBandcamp.com. My project's almost done, 95%, 97% done. 97% done. There's no Lil Ray's World this week. We're going to get back to Lil Ray once he's available. We have a P.O. box. I haven't checked it in a while, so don't get mad. I'm going to the P.O. box this week. I'll send all your stuff, packages, mail, whatever, to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California, 90093. Hey, God bless you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Stevie Wee!